It's Christmas time, and for Christmas, we give presents to each other. That's why we decided to give you a present, the most precious one we have, our failures, how we screwed up, and what we learned from them. Today, you'll meet all of our hosts, Alexandra, Karola, and György. In this episode, you will hear about our best-kept secrets, feel the struggles of change, and experience how much you can gain by standing out, exposing yourself, openly showing your vulnerabilities. Stay tuned. This is the second best present you're getting this year after the dear socks your partner gives you. Welcome to Change That Works, a podcast by ICG about change, leadership, and innovation that takes you behind the scene.
Thank you, Gary. In this episode, you'll actually get to meet all three of Change That Works hosts. That is Alexandra from Romania, Gyuri, who's getting deer socks for Christmas in Hungary, and me, Karola, from Austria. And to get us right started, I would hand it over to Alexandra, who will share her first story, one of the failures she actually encountered during her life as a consultant.
Hi, hello everyone. Thank you, Gyuri and Karola, for giving me the stage to kickstart our discussion about failure. Now I can say finally my failures are paying off. I get to be first. So my story is from when I started my consulting business that you all know about. But for our listeners, before going into that story, I would like to share a bit about my context. So before joining ICG as innovation consultant, I worked in the corporate environment for almost 15 years in various roles from partnership development, marketing, innovation. And at a certain point, I stepped out of corporate and moved into a more agile environment, like I like to call it, working with startups on business scale and innovation. And I remember that in my work, a lot of times I was telling my colleagues, my teams, how important it is to listen to customers, and especially when you are in a sales situation, to not try and sell something, especially at the very beginning, but listen and understand what is the value that you can bring. Well, reality kicked in, and it is so much more different than telling people what to do. And for me, starting my consulting business was actually the very first time when I was on my own and had to put into practice everything I knew and everything that I was telling others to do. Naturally, you know, sales meetings started to happen. And one of my first meetings was with a very, very important prospect that I had prepared a lot for. So I remember that I knew everything that I wanted to ask. I had a lot of questions in my mind. I had done a lot of research about that customer and, you know, was ready to go in there and listen to its problems, its context and everything. And I arrived at the meeting. It started and blank, everything that I had prepared, that I had known that I want to ask, everything that I knew as a best practice just disappeared. And I think for 45 minutes, I spoke only about myself, my business, ICG, how great we are, what we do, everything that we do, how we can help. I mean, I knew everything about that customer. I knew even better than the customer what their problems were. And the guy was really nice. He listened to me. He didn't interrupt me. Maybe he would have done me a favor if he had interrupted me and said, "Hey, lady, shut up for 1 minute so I can talk." But he was really kind. And then at the end of the meeting, he said, "Wow, that's extraordinary. Thank you so much. It was such an interesting meeting." And I left and I was walking to my car, and going over the meeting, I realized that I had no clue what that customer had as an issue, problem, challenge, if they had any, and that everything that I knew to be best practice just erased from my mind. So you can imagine that the prospect remained the prospect. Yes, I never heard back. And to be honest, I didn't even try to go back to him because I felt a bit embarrassed about myself. So my number one lesson was, when you are in front of a situation, things change. You get nervous, you get emotional, and you sometimes forget what you have to do. So yeah, I had to go through that process. Luckily for my next prospects and future customers, the meetings went much better. But I also had some victims along the way. That's my bit of sharing a story about sales, at the beginning of my consulting journey.
You mentioned an interesting aspect, especially in our kind of sales. It's not really about presenting ourselves so much, but much more about listening to what others actually need and to really get an idea what their concerns are, what their issues are, to really listen to them and pay active attention to that. That's basically, for me, what consulting sales at least is about. And I think other sales also in a lot of contexts.
And my take from this story is that you mentioned that it was in a sales situation. But if we look in our world, we are every day in a sales situation. It's probably not selling for a business, but we are at our companies and we have an idea and we would like to sell that idea, convince our boss, convince our colleagues and get these kind of small victories in the improvement of our company. And for me, that's a great story that, how do you sell your ideas? Is it enough just telling? Because we can hear many colleagues at companies saying, okay, I've told my idea so many times and nothing happened and I'm so frustrated. And your story gives me the insight that probably telling a story is not really enough.
Yeah. And we know after that meeting, looking back into situations when I felt hurt and when I decided to work with someone, it was actually when that person was able to ask me questions that would help me discover myself or my problems or my situation. So the best sales meeting I attended was when that person didn't speak that much. He probably didn't tell me too much about the business or what he or she can do, but rather ask questions that helped me clarify where I want to go and what I want to do. And that made me feel that I am in the presence of a person who is more interested about myself than about his business. That's what I aim, and I want to be able to transfer back to my customers.
But it's also a question for me that what is required to be able to ask the right questions? Because I think those questions can be very good or they can be extremely dumb. So what makes the difference or what do you need to have? Do you have some tips for that?
Unfortunately not, and I will give the answer that I don't usually like to receive. It takes time and practice and resilience. So you just have to go, have those meetings, ask questions, reflect back. Did it help the customer? Didn't help the customer? Maybe have a coach or a mentor, someone who can advise and help. But in the end, it's about putting the effort and maybe moving, I don't know, from mistake to mistake, failure to failure, learning from it and getting better at it. I don't think there is any shortcut. I've read a lot of books. I am a geek. Books help up to a point. It's about practicing and being resilient about what you want to do and pursuing the dream.
Mm-hmm. Just one perspective I'd like to bring in because it was very helpful for me on how we can understand sales. I was talking to a new colleague of ours who has a very different set of experiences because she used to work for the church before she came to ICG, before she started work as a consultant. And she shared with me their perspective on how you convince people that the Catholic Church might be for them. You know, in the past, it was a lot about missionary work. You know, you send all these priests to Africa and South America and they tell and they preach how great God is and Jesus and it's the savior and all of that. But just, you know, one way communication. And now, I mean, what the Catholic Church is doing is a lot about dialogue, you know. It's getting into a good dialogue with the people, finding out what their interests are and see, okay, is the Catholic Church something that can help you or is it something that might not help you? But just to have a good dialogue is already the value and that's what they're aiming for, not to convince anyone, but to just have a good discussion. And I think that could be helpful if you want to sell something or convince someone, as Guri said, that's something to keep in mind, you know, just create a good dialogue and then that's already a win for everyone.
Okay. Wow. Insightful. So we can get inspiration from many, many areas.
That's great. And thank you very much for your story, Alexandra.
Well, the failure scene is going now to Carola.
Yeah, I think it's me now.
If you are ready for that.
I'm ready. We just started a new project in fall and it was actually a workshop that was exploration workshop, we call it. So to really find out what the ideas are of the employees, what the current status is, and also a little bit about the culture of the company. That's why we do these one-day workshops or half-a-day workshops to kind of exploratory work with them. And midway through the workshop, I realized that the people can't really answer the questions in that workshop that I have for them. That they're just way too far away from their daily life and from their concerns. They're not yet there with the change. So while, you know, upper management is already like at the other end of the change curve, as we would say, you know, they've gone through a lot of ups and downs in the change. The employees were very much at the beginning. I was really struggling to find my ground and how to proceed. I managed until lunch and it was kind of okay. And then I said, okay, I need a break now. So I just left the room. I went outside. I fought by myself for 15 minutes. Okay, what are we going to do now? What does the group really need from me in this moment? And I walked right back in there, had totally thrown over my workshop design and did something completely different for the rest of the afternoon. But that also meant that people left the workshop with a good feeling and that they had actually accomplished something, working on something that they could actually answer and not working on something I thought they could answer. So from that, I really learned that in preparation of our work, but I guess of a lot of presentations that people give or a lot of discussions they have, it's always important to know your audience, you know, to really understand what is their status, where do they stand, what can they deal with, what can they not deal with. So that was an important learning from my side on this, I think.
I was wondering, how did you feel during that lunch break?
At first, I was a little shook up. That's why I took that time also, because I couldn't reflect with someone else. I just needed to be by myself with my own head. But then I felt really energized because I thought, okay, I've learned so much as a consultant already, like the years I've been working in consultancy, that I feel like I can handle it now. As soon as I had a plan, I felt much more positive and I felt it in my heart that it was the right way going forward. But I had to fail before I could realize that.
I have a similar story in mind and maybe with some conclusions. And it was the beginning of my career. I was a really young consultant and I'm working for a family business in my country. And my father was a senior in the company and we had just won two big projects. And literally 2 weeks before the kickoff workshops and trainings, father got his diagnosis of cancer. So he decided that he wouldn't attend these events. And myself and my brother had to do these workshops and trainings. And I was literally working for the company for less than half a year. So that's how green I was, my brother a bit more. And we were totally anxious, but had the feeling that, okay, there is no other way to do it. We could panic, we could, I don't know, stop, but we need to do that. And at the end, we had a really good workshop and training and we got feedback from the clients that, okay, we were anxious too. And we had the ideas that these two young guys, what are they going to do here? Oh my God, at least we are going to have a nice party at the evening. And yeah. At the end, they were very successful projects and the customers were very happy. And for me, is that few times in your life, you probably have these situations when you feel so cornered in, so hopeless. And if you don't panic or stop, just tell yourself, okay, this is the best learning possibility for me in my life and embrace the situation, then you can perform outstandingly well and you will improve so much as a person and as a consultant.
Yeah, I remember that I was asking my teams, especially the innovation teams, what is the worst thing that can happen if we do this? And they said, we would fail. And, you know, the idea of failure always scares us because maybe we perceive failure as personal. It's taking it about myself. I am not good at doing that or something. But actually, the failure is one of the best gifts that you can give yourself or a project or a team because you learn a lot from that. And your story, Gyuri, is about, okay, it's probably what most teams, when they are in front of a challenge, a very new challenge, a very new project. And I think it's very important to not give up and to not cancel your ideas or your big dreams just because you could fail. Because you could fail or you could not fail. So you never know how it goes. Either way, you are going to learn something out of it. And that's probably the most important thing.
I think life brings these situations and you just have to be very open when you face these situations and stand up and go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Carola, how are you feeling afterwards this? So what did you learn or what is your key takeaway from this story?
Well, my key takeaway is to really ask enough questions beforehand to really understand the problem, you know, the problem that you're trying to solve with, in my case, it was a workshop, but it could be anything else. Really take the time, ask the right questions, get a good understanding of your audience. And then, you know, build based on that. It was kind of whipped cream in a sense. Let me explain. Because whipped cream was actually discovered in Versailles in France by mistake, because it was a chef, I think, who was whipping too long or something like that, the milk or the butter. I'm not quite sure. Maybe we need to fact check that. But it was created by mistake. Or Post-its, that's another good story, because the adhesive on the Post-its, it was not a very strong adhesive. They created Post-its kind of as an afterthought, because it was meant to be like a glue that worked really, really well, but it was not even strong enough to hold up paper that well, so they stuck it on the wall. That's how Post-its got created. So that's how I feel about this workshop, because I actually did the same design with a second group, because in the end, it had a very good learning process for the group. They learned a lot about what their issues actually were, because they were not able to answer the questions that I asked them. So it was kind of also a lucky failure in that sense. So you can learn something from a failure and even repeat it just because you realize, oh, maybe that's the better learning for the other person as well. So that's kind of my takeaway.
Yeah, that's great. And you told us that you have another story in mind also. Because you had a very fruitful period this time of the year, full of failures.
Yay, Carola.
Yeah, that's a difficult one also. It's similar but different, because it was just about the expectations we had towards a meeting. Me and my colleague, our expectation was that we were going into this meeting to really get a briefing and get information and just have this first exchange. And the other side actually had the expectations that we're already gonna, you know, bring in a concept and discuss a ready-made concept. And we didn't talk about it. We only realized afterwards, which, you know, made us look very stupid, because they were like, oh, why are they not presenting anything? Why is there not coming anything from their side? Why are they so passive? And we were just trying to be good listeners and, you know, take down notes and, you know, really understand the customer. And a very, very big learning that you really need to clarify beforehand what the expectations are for a meeting. I mean, in a lot of contexts, it doesn't hurt that much because it clarifies easily. But in a customer-client relationship, you can really derail things in a major way.
I think there are situations that you cannot really prepare for. Like, I had a client meeting and it remained a prospect at the end where I was meeting a guy who is from another country. And in Hungarian business meetings, usually if you pull out your laptop and start to show your company presentations and things like that, it's quite awkward. So people don't like it. So when we meet, we just talk with each other and no presentations. And okay, this guy was from another country and was asking, okay, where's your presentation? I would like to see it. And okay, I was not prepared for that, but the rest is still to come. And okay, when we were discussing the projects and some references, I started to quote a reference from a slaughterhouse, actually. We had a fantastic project there, you can imagine, with very good results, and people were very motivated. And after telling this story, the meeting was quickly ended by the guy. And after that, some local guy told me on the corridor that, Yuri, you made a mistake, because our boss hates everything which is in connection with meat and meat industry, because he's a full vegetarian, you know, very strongly against all this industry and all this. And okay, I knew that time that there will be no chance to work there. And that's something you cannot prepare for. But I also have another story for you. I don't know how many projects you have been kicked off from in your career. I have one. And it still hurts, I have to say, and I'm still emotional when I think of it. It was at a company. I'm working a lot in operational excellence field. They had a site with a production building with a very complex production, and they wanted to improve that production. And we did a lot of analysis and looking at the processes and diving into data. And the team we had was, we had the guys working at the company, like 15 people or so. We had consultants from outside, that was me. And we had a project leader from inside the company, and the project leader got an internal consultant from the company headquarters. And how I perceived the work was very interesting, that we spent a lot of time in the shop floor analyzing and improving things, and we saved hundreds of thousands of euros and identified another hundreds of thousand euros of saving potentials and found the root cause of the biggest problems in the area and make some technological improvements and process improvements. So I had the feeling that we are running well. And during this time, the project manager and the internal consultant, they were sitting most of the time in front of their computers and analyzing data and talking about frameworks and methodologies and things like that. So I think we were not on the same page. And at the end, they called me one day that, Yuri, we need you quick. Okay, I will be there. I organized everything in a half day to be there and postponed meetings and things like that. And then they confronted me that, Yuri, we are not satisfied with your support, so we would like to terminate the contract immediately. And I was so speechless. I couldn't really defend myself because I was so shocked. And one thing they told is that you were building on the data we provided you, and the V was the project leader and the internal consultant, and the data was faulty, and you didn't identify that the data we provided you is not good. Yeah, and what I've learned from that situation is how important it is to manage and inform and communicate with your key stakeholders, because if they feel insecure, then whatever you do.
Yeah, I have a good story on insecurity. We had a client for who we did interviews beforehand. You know, we started this new process. It was a strategy process, developing and then implementing strategy. And we did interviews with all kinds of people throughout the organization. And then my colleague and me, we actually summarized all the insights and made a very nice presentation with, you know, what were the key insights from the interviews about culture that we observed, like organizational culture. And we had this very nice presentation. And then we had a hybrid meeting to present these insights. And then we realized, you know, from his facial expressions and his gestures, he was kind of closing off, you know, not looking at us directly anymore and seemed to be getting angrier and angrier. And we realized that we really had touched on his insecurities. And eventually it led to the fact that my colleague had to leave the project. That was really about insecurities.
And how much do you think that this hybrid setting was accountable for this? Because if you are there in person, it might be totally different.
Yeah, that's one of the learnings I take away from it. For like very important situations, don't go hybrid. Either go virtual, that's still better than hybrid, or, you know, preferably face-to-face. With hybrid, you really can't read because, you know, I could see that he was kind of closing off and not looking at us anymore. But it's very different if you're in the same room, as you said. And then you could walk up, you know, after the meeting and have like more of a informal chit chat and maybe resolve things. Definitely not a good idea to go hybrid this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I personally really dislike hybrid settings. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing I'm taking away, how important it is that you always have to balance feedback. I think that's something also we observe when we maybe receive feedback, or what we tell our clients that they should pay attention to when giving feedback. But there should be positive as well as negative aspects. And Let me ask you, because I learned this and it was interesting for me, what's the relationship? How many times do you have to say something nice before someone can accept something negative from the same person?
How many times?
I would say a ratio is something like 4-1 or 3-1.
Yeah. Alexander, what do you think?
I don't know. I think also 3-4 times.
It's even 6-1, according to research.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. To really have that impact.
So if you don't have 6 good things to say, don't say a bad thing. That's the lesson. Wow.
Yeah, to really be able to accept. But it means it's not in one discussion necessarily, that is also in leadership. You know, if you provide leadership to someone, then you should always make sure to also put in positive things and kind of value their work. And then, you know, the 7th time, you also get to throw in some criticism, maybe. I thought that was very insightful.
You know, I can connect to this situation in a way that I see so many companies where people are seeing that the situation is not perfect and there are things to be improved and they have a lot of energy and ideas how to improve things, and they are not successful in selling their own ideas. And quite often, I think this is connected with your stories, that they are very quick to tell improvement ideas and probably a bit one-sided. And when they are calling consultants, I often hear that complaint that what you just did with our management is something we are telling them for years. It's just the way how you phrase it and how you frame it. It's so important. And for me, a very important takeaway from your story here.
That's very insightful. And we use it also when we have idea generation workshops or when we go in effectuation workshops, because people tend to come with great ideas, new ideas. And sometimes the feeling that maybe the others get is that they're trying to dismiss the past on one hand, or that these new ideas are meant to point to what is not working currently. So people take it very personally. And, you know, the new idea or the whole concept of coming with fresh new things is diluted by the fact that we take it personally. We believe that actually someone is saying that we didn't do a good job in the past. So framing, talking about it and how you position it, it's very important for the company and people in general to accept these new ideas. So yeah, very, very insightful. And the 6-to-1 I will keep in mind.
Yes, it's a very good topic. And I like to tell my clients that, hey, if you had a teenager, does it work with them to tell them what to do and they are doing it instantly? Is it the way how it works? Then if not, then why are you doing the same in your company?
I don't know if I told you guys one time when I was traveling, it was a business travel, and I had to go one morning to meet a group of managers, and we had one meeting in the morning and one meeting in the afternoon, and the cities were like 100 kilometers away. And I woke up in the morning and I was getting dressed, and there's Brasov and Sibiu. I had to drive to Sibiu first, but I woke up and I drove to Brasov instead, the other city. And I was going to the meeting, and then as I arrived, I mean, nobody was there. And I thought, okay, they might be a little bit late. And I had everything prepared. And then the time was, you know, passing by. And I was like, okay, nobody's coming to my meeting. What's happening? A lot of scenarios going through my mind. Okay, people, maybe they want to sabotage the meeting, or it's something wrong, or they didn't get my note. And so I started calling them. And as I was calling the guys that I was supposed to meet, or I thought I was supposed to meet, I was getting phone calls from the team from Sibiu, who was asking me, when am I arriving? So I was in this very awkward situation. On one hand, I was calling the other guys, telling them that they are late and it's not nice to be late. But then I was getting phone calls from the team from the other town telling me that I'm late and it's not nice to be late. So yes, so it was a failure because I didn't get to any of the meetings. So both of them were canceled. I had to reschedule both of them. Oh, I had a day off, and I made a fool of myself in front of like 40 people. But now we meet after many years, and we still laugh about that that situation. How to avoid meeting your team? You send them to locations at different times.
But for the teams, it could have been a challenge, you know? It could have been part of the workshop already to give them conflicting information, and that could be learning.
Yeah, well, if I had known you then, Carola, maybe that idea would have been good.
Just a clue for our listeners. So if you are working with Carola, be careful, because she might give you some confusing information directly.
We'll see if you figure it out. And if you don't, well, that's a learning also.
Yes.
Well, we shared a lot about our failures, and we can always learn from failures others made, of course. But guess what failures we learn the most from? That's our own. So go ahead and try out new things, take a risk, live on the edge, as we say, and maybe you'll find some learnings under your tree this year.
Thank you very much for listening, and see you soon, and wish you a very Merry Christmas and holidays.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah, hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thanks for joining. If you would like to keep the conversation going and maybe also share your failures with us, and more importantly, what you learned from them, of course, reach out to us. As always, you can find our email in the show notes. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Change That Works seeks to inspire a different way to transform organizations. Let's tune in again for our next episode.